Welcome on into Locked On Cougars, your daily podcast focused on the BYU Cougars. Proud to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jay Catch, your host here on the podcast. Thanks for joining me on this Friday edition of the show. Talking a lot of basketball today. Of course, BYU winning their WCC opener last night over Pacific, heading to Moraga now to take on St. Mary's tomorrow. We'll break down the win from last night here in this first segment before focusing on what the St. Mary's Gales bring to the table in the second segment of today's show. And in the final segment of the show, got some football updates as well as the other teams in the BYU athletic department, notably the BYU women's basketball team remaining perfect in WCC play that we will detail for you. Brought to you today on today's podcast by Sling TV. We'll tell you what they're offering Locked On Cougars listeners here in a moment. Thanks again for tuning in each and every day to this podcast. Please share it with your family and friends. Let them know that this is their daily source for all things BYU news that they need to know, so that way they can always be up to date on the latest when it comes to BYU athletics. All right, without further ado, let's get going. This is Locked On Cougars for January 4th, 2019. Well, that game was something, wasn't it? BYU races out to a 21-point lead in the first half, sees it get cut to 12 before halftime, and then Pacific goes on a run in the second half, briefly takes a lead, but like the stud he is, TJ Haws gives the lead back to BYU with a deep NBA range three-pointer, and BYU escapes Stockton, California with a 90-87 win over the Pacific Tigers. Absolutely crazy game, I thought, went back and forth. I thought BYU, when they went up 21 in that first half, this was going to be a laugh, or BYU would close it out, and it would just be a good game. It would be a good showing for BYU, but Pacific showed a lot of fight, and that was an impressive effort from the Tigers. I really like what they did, rallying to take the lead in that second half. I think this is a game that BYU can learn from, but the best part is from it is that you got the win, if that makes sense, is you don't have to worry about the losing and having to take a lesson from that. BYU got tested in this game. They raced out to that big lead. TJ Haws led the way on the night with 24 points. He went 4 of 8 from 3. BYU was incredible, just shooting right out of the gate. 10 of 11 shooting to start the game. 5 of 6 from the 3-point stripe. Got that 26-10 advantage, just under 12 minutes to go. They pushed it up to 41-23, and I was really impressed with what BYU did. They came out hot, but then I was also impressed by the fact that they were able to withstand all the punches that Pacific threw at them as that second half wore on, took that lead, and then TJ Haws. I don't know if I can reiterate how big that three-pointer was. I believe it was about 2 minutes, 2:45 to go, and he hits that three and gives BYU the lead. Jashir Hardnett, I thought, had a big role in this game. Of course, you saw if you look at the box score, 17 points. He comes off the bench. He'd actually started, I believe, 47 straight games before being substituted out of the starting lineup last night and having McKay Cannon inserted into the starting lineup alongside Luke Worthington. But it was good to see a guy like a Jashir Hardnett show up in this game and really help out BYU with balancing that scoring load. We talked about on the podcast yesterday how important it was for BYU to have a secondary. Well, not secondary. They have the secondary score. Yoli Childs and TJ Haws are the two big offensive options for the Cougars. A third guy that can kind of balance the load is what BYU's been looking for. And at least for last night, it was Jashir Hardnett. And that was good to see. He hit some big free throws down the line to help BYU out. Nick Emery also had some free throws there, gave BYU that 90-87 lead with 13 seconds remaining. So I think overall it was an impressive win for BYU, a little closer and a little more of anxiety for BYU fans than I think most fans would like, but the good news is BYU played well overall. The defense is still an issue at points because, as you saw, that rallying from that 21-point deficit for a team like Pacific, that's not nothing. That they showed a lot of fight to fight back into this game. I still feel like I mentioned yesterday on the podcast, I feel like Pacific is a team that BYU matches up poorly against. Dave Rose kind of echoed my thoughts last night, the quote saying, quote, "It was a hard matchup for us because of personnel. Pulling off the win is one that I will remember. It was a team win, which makes it feel so much better because there are a lot of guys that are going to walk out with a little bit of a hop in their step and a little more confident in their ability to play and to help." And I think that was a big development for the Cougars in this game, is getting contributions from multiple guys on this team. Too often this year with BYU, at least in the non-conference, it seemed to be a one or a two-man show. Yoli Childs and TJ Hawes, and everybody else was kind of like, okay, well, sweet, we're on the team, but we're not doing much. Last night was a game that BYU won as a team, and that's good news because they're going to face another tough opponent tomorrow. We'll talk about St. Mary's here in a moment, but that team, BYU going to Moraga, has been a tough, tough place for the Cougars to get wins in the past. Greg Wrubell tweeting out after the game last night, and I failed to note this, and I apologize, but it was interesting that BYU, of their previous four WCC openers on the road, three on the road, BYU had never won. Two of them were at St. Mary's, and then one was at Loyola Marymount, and BYU was 0-3 in those road openers in WCC play to open conference play as a whole. We're talking the very first conference game on the road. So the first win in BYU under Dave Rose's tenure in the WCC, getting a win to start off conference play. So it was a good showing for the Cougars overall. It was good to see that Dalton Nixon was available to play after he was reportedly dealing with some personal matters with university personnel, etc., earlier this week. Good to see him make the trip. He played 12 minutes in the game, 4 rebounds, 3 personal fouls. Yoli Childs fouled out in this game with about 3 minutes to go, but he still got another double-double, his 9th of the year, with 13 points and 12 rebounds. And if you told me that going into this game, BYU would lose Yoli Childs with 3 minutes to go when he only scored 13 points, I would have felt like BYU was going to be in big trouble in this game. But my hat goes off to TJ Hawes. 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 8 of 11 from the charity stripe. Jashir Hardnett, 4 of 9 from the field, 8 of 9 from the charity stripe. 24 points for Hawes, 17 points for Hardnett. Hats off to those two gentlemen because they really helped BYU grind out this win. And like I said, I don't think I can reiterate enough how big it was for BYU to have all those punches thrown at them by Pacific as the Tigers rallied to take that lead, but to see BYU fight back and hold on for a victory. So BYU now 9-7 overall on the season. Most importantly, 1-0 in West Coast Conference play. Now they head to St. Mary's. We'll talk about the Gales next. Talk about what's going on with Randy Bennett's squad. They've been scuffling along a little bit like BYU, kind of a similar mirroring each other, I guess, in the non-conference slate, and we'll talk about that next. Before we do that, though, do need to tell you about today's sponsor on the show. That is our good friends at Sling TV. If you want to catch the games like BYU last night on ESPNU or BYU at St. Mary's tomorrow night on ESPN2, Sling TV's got that option for you. For just $30 a month, you get all of the ESPN networks, Pac-12 networks, SEC networks, and more sports networks. Pretty much every sporting event you can handle, based on what I know, you can catch on Sling TV. The best part about Sling is you can watch it on your big screen as if it's a regular TV service, and also take it with you on all of your favorite devices with their mobile app, your tablets, your phones, etc. There are no useless channels with Sling TV. There are no long-term contracts. You pick the channel lineup you want. It's a month-to-month deal. No hidden fees. You know exactly what you're paying right up front. And then whenever you want to cancel, you can cancel for whatever reason at any time. It frees you up. You're not locked into a 2-year contract. There's no cable bundle to deal with. Locked On Cougars listeners, you can check it out. Get a 7-day free trial by signing up with Sling TV at sling.com/lockedon. 7 days free to get it, to see if it's the right option for you. Go to sling.com/lockedon. Check it out, guys. It's a great TV service. Might be the right option for you if you're missing some of the sports you'd rather see. Check it out once again, sling.com/lockedon. Thank you. Welcome back to Locked On Cougars. We are your daily source for all the BYU news, notes, and insider information you can't find anywhere else. Proud to be part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is the number one daily podcast network in America. I'm Jay Catch, your host here on the podcast. Let you guys know, hey, it's easier than ever to catch this podcast. All you got to do is tell your personal assistant on your cell phone or your smart speaker, simply play podcast Locked On Cougars, and you can find us there. Thanks again for your continued support of the show. Let's talk a little bit about St. Mary's. BYU is going to be in Moraga tomorrow night, 9 p.m., another late night game for the Cougars on ESPN2 as they take on Randy Bennett's squad. This was a team that BYU has struggled with ever since they entered the WCC. Going to Moraga has been a house of horrors for the Cougars. It seems like when they show up, foul trouble and shooting woes plague them for whatever reason. But this St. Mary's team is a different St. Mary's team than they have been previously. Randy Bennett graduated a large majority of his contributors for seemingly for the last 4 or 5 years when last year's team departed. And they've struggled at points this year. They've lost to Utah State, a common opponent that BYU has defeated early in the season. That sent them actually on a 4-game spiral. They lost against Mississippi State, who the Cougars also lost to. But most recently, speaking of St. Mary's, they've been on a up and down kind of yo-yo system. They beat Cal State Fullerton, lost to LSU, beat Bucknell, lost to Western Kentucky, finished up non-conference play with a win over San Jose State, and then last night lost to San Francisco 76-72. This was a tough, hard-fought game. Frankie Ferrari, that's a great name, plays for San Francisco, the Dons. BYU will see him later on this season. He had 19 points to lead San Francisco in the win. But the biggest thing is that St. Mary's was right in this game, and it took some fantastic defensive efforts down the stretch for San Francisco to emerge with the win. The Dons, like I said, I thought they were a little bit of a paper tiger, maybe not. 13-2 on the season, 1-0. St. Mary's now 9-7, but 0-1 in conference. So we got mirror image records for BYU as they head to Moraga tomorrow. I'm interested to see how BYU matches up with St. Mary's, because St. Mary's, Randy Bennett's system is very methodical. They know exactly what they're going to do. The only issue is it seems like this year he's still trying to get guys engrossed into that system and working and getting that system implemented where guys know what they're doing on every possession, because for the last 4 or 5 years, Jock Landale and those guys, seemingly you knew exactly what they were going to do. It was kind of the funny thing about it. You knew what St. Mary's was going to do. They simply executed it so well that you had no hope of stopping it. So very impressive to see what not very impressive. I'm very interested to see what St. Mary's throws at BYU tomorrow. Jordan Ford has been St. Mary's most consistent and probably best player on their roster right now. Ford led St. Mary's last night with 24 points in the loss to San Francisco. Malik Fitz had 13 points and 13 rebounds. So this is going to be a game that Randy Bennett, he is an antagonist for BYU fans. I don't think there's a lot of love lost between St. Mary's and BYU. There's actually seemingly a pretty friendly rivalry with Gonzaga and the Cougars in WCC play, but St. Mary's is very much more that adversarial type. Some hard feelings back and forth. I can think back to the craziness that was the Dellavedova dagger in Provo when Matthew Dellavedova hit that three from half court to beat the Cougars, shocked them at the buzzer. So there's not a lot of love lost between these two teams. But St. Mary's roster continues to be very much an international roster, multiple players from Australia. They've added a couple of players from New Zealand most recently, Dan Fotu, I'm assuming Polynesian. He's a freshman forward. Also, Quinn Clinton from Christchurch, New Zealand as well. Both freshmen on this team. But this is a team that they know what they're doing. Randy Bennett's got a very distinct style, but like I said, I don't feel like he's got this new crop of players on his roster operating like he had over the last 4 and 5 years when he had a lot of continuity on his roster. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Cougars tomorrow. They're going to have to deal with Malik Fitz, 6'8", 230-pound forward. He's from Rancho Cucamonga, California. I mentioned Jordan Ford, probably their most consistent and best player on this roster right now. 6'1", guard, 175 pounds out of Folsom, California. So he's a relatively local product there in Moraga. But this is very much an international roster like it has been since Randy Bennett got to St. Mary's. They'll be expecting for another battle with the Cougars. It's always interesting, like I said, when BYU goes to Moraga. It seems like you have two quick foul calls on BYU big men that gets them put on the bench. And, man, it's a house of horrors, me looking back at those games that BYU has played at Moraga. And I'm hoping that tomorrow BYU can kind of flip the script, go out, and just take care of business. We'll see. It'll be interesting to track how it all shakes out ultimately in the end, but St. Mary's has been a tough place for BYU to play. We'll be able to watch them tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Mountain Time, ESPN2 nationally broadcast game. It's a late night, but it is still national television for BYU to make a statement. If, like I said yesterday on the podcast, if BYU gets to 2-0, they open up 2-0 on the road in West Coast Conference play, I think there's going to be a lot of confidence for BYU going forward. Dave Rose, I mentioned the quote early on in the first segment of today's podcast. He says, pulling off the win is one I will remember. It was a team win, which makes it feel so much better because there are a lot of guys that are going to walk out with a little bit of a hop in their step and a little more confident in their ability to play and to help. That is a big thing you can take into this game against St. Mary's. BYU ground out a win over Pacific. Now they face a team that has been a traditionally tough opponent for them to beat, regardless if it's in Moraga, Provo, or even in Las Vegas at the WCC tournament. St. Mary's, by and large, has had BYU's number. Can you now flip the script, get to 2-0 in West Coast Conference play, and come home feeling a lot better about yourselves? We'll see. It'll be interesting to track it. We'll be breaking it down for you on next week's podcast as we look towards home games for the first time in West Coast Conference play for Dave Rose's team. But let's hope they can go out and get a win tomorrow night and get to 2-0 in West Coast Conference play and get their 10th win of the year, getting into double digits. We'll track it for you. We'll have it all covered for you on Locked On Cougars. Follow me on Twitter at Jacob C. Hatch or follow the show at Locked On Cougars. We'll have updates on those games for you there throughout the night. All right, we will step aside here. We'll come back, get you up to date on everything else you need to know about BYU football. BYU women's basketball is off to a perfect start in West Coast Conference play. We'll talk about that next in Quick Hits. This is Locked On Cougars. Welcome back as we close out today's edition of Locked On Cougars, getting you caught up on everything else we haven't touched on in BYU news. We'll start off with BYU women's basketball. Paisley Johnson scored a career-high 24 points as BYU women's basketball recorded a season-high 83 points as they blew out Pepperdine 83-58. A great showing for BYU. They're now 3-0 in West Coast Conference play. Three players scoring more than 20 points in the same game for the first time this season. I mentioned Paisley Johnson. She went 7-13 from the field. She also had Brenna Chase alongside her, making a season-best 5 3-pointers on her way to a season-high 23 points. She added 7 assists. And then Shaylee Gonzalez, who's probably been BYU's leading player to this point of the season, finished third in terms of scoring with 22 points, but had a near triple-double with 7 assists and 7 rebounds. So a great showing for the BYU women's basketball team. They're now 11-3 overall on the season, 3-0 in West Coast Conference play. They'll be looking to make it 4-0 tomorrow, hosting Loyola Marymount at the Marriott Center. It's a mid-afternoon matinee, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, if you want to go out and watch it. Tickets at BYUtickets.com. Game will also be broadcast on BYU TV. So it's a good chance if you want to take your little ones out to a BYU game. Women's basketball is much easier to attend. Your kids can kind of mill around. I know kids don't like sitting. I've got two of my own that are very young. Trying to sit them in a seat for multiple about 40 minutes or so, let's say, in a row. Not going to happen. So a good chance to go out and watch some basketball. A team that's very hot right now, BYU, tied their season high 3-point field goal percentage with 45.8% made yesterday. This is a team that is on fire right now, and it's a good opportunity to go catch the team, watch Jeff Judkins' squad in action. So get out there and support the Cougars, 2 p.m. Mountain Time tomorrow. Some news from a BYU former football coach and player, Jan Jorgensen. It was announced earlier this week that he will take the defensive coordinator position at Snow College. He's the first major hire under new head coach Andrew Mitchell. He's the Badgers' former offensive coordinator who succeeded Paul Peterson, who is now the head coach at Dixie State. Jan spent last season as the defensive coordinator at Orange Coast Community College in Costa Mesa, California. They went 1-9 in 2018, so not a great season overall, but Jan's first full season as an assistant coach, defensive coordinator, had an opportunity to kind of get his feet wet. He'd been a graduate assistant at BYU. I felt like he was a guy that was going to step into a role as a full-time assistant on Kalani Sitake's staff at some point. And I still feel like he's probably on track to do that at some point in his career, but now this is an opportunity for Jan to be close to home. Of course, the helper native, not too far away, being down there in Ephraim now. And Snow College, they're a top 10 junior college. So this is an opportunity for Jan to really kind of raise his profile. Orange Coast, not a great season. And that when you go 1-9, I think you're probably off most coaching radars. But Andrew Mitchell, I think, understood, hey, it's good to have guys who are locals that can help recruit to Snow College. It's going to be an interesting future for the Badgers with the Western States Football League shutting down all seven of their common conference mates in Arizona, have all discontinued their football programs, but Snow says they're going to soldier on. They're looking to find a new conference affiliation. I wonder where that's going to come from, because they're kind of on an island now out here. California is the closest to them with in terms of schools that have football, that are junior colleges that play, but California has its own JUCO system, so I don't think they're going to invite Snow College to be the lone non-California school there. So I'm interested to see where the future of Snow College goes, but good to see Jan Jorgensen here along the Wasatch Front, and best of luck to him and the Badgers this season. It's going to be an interesting run here, because Andrew Mitchell, of course, he's a Snow College alum. He's helped lead the Badgers to back-to-back top 10 finishes the past two seasons under Paul Peterson's leadership. Some high-flying offenses there in Ephraim. Can Jan Jorgensen come in, help that defense stay at a high level, and help them continue to stay as a top 10 junior college program? Maybe they do go independent as JUCO. I don't think there's many programs that do that, but they may have to do it for the time being until they can figure out what they're going to do long term with the program. But this is a cool opportunity to see Jan Jorgensen back here in Utah coaching close to home, and a guy that's a BYU legend. So here's wishing Jan Jorgensen the best of luck as he takes over as the defensive coordinator. And here's a little side piece to this. Having a BYU alum on that roster in Snow College could be a big help to BYU recruiting-wise. Because Jan, we've talked a lot about BYU and their struggles getting junior college guys admitted. But Jan now can talk to Kalani Sitake and Ed Lamb, Jeff Grimes, and say, what do you need? They can say, hey, we need such and such a player. We have to have these academic requirements. Jan can then go up and down his roster down there in Snow and say, okay, you'll want to look at this guy, and this guy, and here's your opportunity to do that. I know the Big 12 recruits heavily out of Snow College. It's an opportunity for BYU now, I believe, with Jan Jorgensen on staff, to kind of reestablish some ties to Snow College. Like I said, the JUCO player, you can't just add any JUCO player, as Kalani Sitake has said, at BYU in this day and age of admissions for the school in Provo. But having a BYU alum that can keep an eye out for young men that can fit at BYU, because Jan's been through it. He knows exactly what BYU is all about. He can help identify guys and hopefully help BYU on the recruiting trail in terms of filling holes in their lineup when it comes to JUCO players and guys that are here playing locally. Just Snow's not too far away from BYU. It's an hour and a half to 2-hour drive. It's not long at all. So Congrats to Jan Jorgensen and best of luck to him and the Snow Badgers going forward. All right, that is the podcast. We'll be recapping St. Mary's and BYU for you on Monday's edition of the show. We'll also be getting you ready for BYU football. We'll be recapping the players that have signed with the Cougars, also looking at position groups and a kind of a postseason look and looking ahead as well. That's all going to be starting next week on the podcast. Thanks for your continued support. It's great to be back here in 2019. It is a new year. Going to be a lot of fun talking BYU throughout this upcoming football offseason, as well as the remainder of the basketball season. And we'll of course be talking a lot back and forth between the two sports and everything else in between. Come on, we talked about Snow College football for 3 or 4 minutes on today's show. It's always fun to have those connections to BYU, and we'll be talking about it right here on Locked On Cougars. Thanks again for joining me. Have a great weekend. This has been Locked On Cougars for January 4th, 2019.